that she could tap this 401k plan at age 55 or later, as long as she separated from service after the age of 55. Well, she qualifies. She was separated from service at age 58. She's still 58. And now here's the trick. If I had rolled that money into an IRA account from the 401k, then she'd be under the age 59 and a half rule. So here is one of those situations where I did not want to roll that old 401k into an IRA yet. I may want to do that in the future, but for the meantime, as long as it's in that 401k plan, it gets this wonderful age 55 exception, which could be very helpful to this particular client while she's in the job hunting mode. If she winds up getting a job and doesn't need to tap into that, then we can roll that 401k into an IRA, and the age 59 and a half issue would not be a big issue. So, as you know, there's always these exceptions that you have to be aware of so that you can make the really best informed decisions based on your particular circumstances. There's lots of rules. There's some exceptions. And many advisors are not even aware of some of these exceptions. So you want to make sure you're working with somebody that really understands the retirement planning issues that are on the table. So if you need help with that, I certainly raise my hand and invite you to come on in for an absolutely free consultation with me. I meet with everybody personally, one-on-one, here in my Mission Valley office, and it is absolutely free. Leave the checkbook home. There's nothing to buy, no money to spend. Bring me the statements and the Social Security and the IRAs and the rollovers and the 401ks, and let's take a look at what you're doing. Let's put it together in a real plan so you can have security moving into those retirement years. Just call my office to schedule your free consultation with me. 800-727-PLAN is the phone number here. 800-727-7526. You can also go to my website, TheRetirementProfessor.com. That's it, my friends, for this edition of The Word on Wealth. As always, I thank you for tuning in and listening. This is The Word on Wealth Financial Network. I'm The Retirement Professor, Marty Schneider, and I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time, same place, on these very same Salem Network stations.
This is AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station, a service of Salem Media Group.
KPRZ, San Marcos, Poway, San Diego.
Thank you for supporting our ministry partners and advertisers.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. The title of it is called The Purpose. Ooh, The Purpose. Sounds like a movie coming out from a Christian studio or something. No, it's just a DDD called The Purpose. Plus, we are going to do it. We have to do it. We've tried to not do it, but we have been forced to do it. Meshuggah News, where no man has gone until now. Where no man has gone until now. Another DDD called Believing Equals Seeing Equals Being. And then we'll close it out with today's Facebook post, When the People of God Are Off.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call. 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. I mean, no, it's just not. No, no, no. It's not professional radio. Sorry, it's just not. Okay. What is it? It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Gonna take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
All I've got is all he needs. I'll humbly surrender.
The one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Heather Heyer's mother says she's proud her daughter stood for what she believed in. The 32-year-old Heyer was killed Saturday when a car plowed into a crowd of people protesting a white nationalist rally in Charlottesville.
Heather is my darling child who was taken from me.
Raw emotion from Susan Bro after her daughter Heather Heyer was run over and killed while protesting white supremacists.
I woke up and I thought, my baby's gone.
Bro says her daughter died for a cause.
If it's going to mean that I have to bare my soul in front of people, then I'm going to do that. I'm going to make her death worth something.
James Alex Fields Jr. was denied bond Monday, charged with second-degree murder after he was seen driving into protesters at high speed. Joshua Plogle, Charlottesville.
President Trump has signed an executive action that asks his trade office to explore a possible investigation into China for the alleged theft of American technology and intellectual property.
We're going to be fulfilling another campaign promise by taking firm steps to ensure that we protect the intellectual property of American companies, and very importantly, of American workers.
Mr. Trump suggested at the Monday afternoon signing that additional steps would be taken against China on trade issues. The top U.S. military officer says the U.S. wants to peacefully resolve a deepening standoff with North Korea, but is ready to use the full range of its military capabilities in case of provocation. Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Joe Dunford says he will not speculate on what military actions might be taken under what conditions.
What we would do in the wake of an attack on Guam or missiles being launched towards Guam is going to be a decision at the end of the day that's going to be made by the President of the United States, and he's going to make that in the context of our alliance.
On Wall Street, the Dow up by 135 points, the NASDAQ rose 84. This is SRN News.
AM 1210, KPRZ, the Christian station.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him.
When Da Aitin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins shared his thoughts on a recent push to allow nonviolent criminals access to care through faith-based facilities.
Part of this right on crime or this reform of criminal justice is to direct them into treatment facilities, and part of this is, and this is what I was pushing for even 20 years ago, but now it's actually caught on, are faith-based organizations that help. Because when you look at drugs and crime and bad choices, it's usually driven by issues. And it's oftentimes the drugs are used to try to, well, you know, self-medicate, to suppress issues, oftentimes issues that are spiritual in nature.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
The Irish playwright George Bernard Shaw made an observation about happiness that reflects a biblical principle. He said, We have no more right to consume happiness without producing it than to consume wealth without producing it. That comes very close to the principle expressed by the Apostle Paul, that we reap what we sow. If we want to reap happiness in life, we must sow happiness. If we want to reap friendship, we must be a good friend. The best way to receive what we desire in God's kingdom is to produce and share that desire with others. It's God's law of the harvest. And this is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's law of the harvest on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Don't often tell you this, but I will tell you, it's going to be a day or two before we get the podcast up from the last hour. But I'll tell you one thing. If you are a person that has been struggling with anger, unforgiveness, or any of the such, you should definitely listen to the first hour that we did. I would just encourage you to do it. It'll be up in probably a couple days. So. Okie dokie, we're going to do our DDD, devotional diamond of the day, called The Purpose. Wow, The Purpose. You know when I wrote this? Today. Now, you're thinking, wait, devotional diamond of the day, you wrote it today. What does that mean? Well, for those that are unaware, what we do, or what I do, or what some people do, is when I'm doing my devotions, I have a little notepad there because, this is truth, because the Bibles that I use don't have enough space in them. So, and my writing is super bad, super duper bad. I mean, I sometimes think the word processor was created just for people like me. So I will jot down notes that go along with some of the notes that I'll write in the Bible, wherever I can squeeze it in there. And while I was doing it today, this was the thing that really popped out, really became bold and kind of made a witness to me of something that I need to be more aware of personally. And then I take that and try and communicate that with you guys. I don't do a great job on it, but I tell you what's going on so you know. So if you're interested, well, how's my spiritual journey? If you pretty much listen to the DDDs and I tell you I wrote one today, you know what's going on. I mean, that's how you know. This one called The Purpose, coming out of John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31. John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Again, this is actually coming out of the Berean Study Bible, if you're looking for what's the particular translation. That's something that I do quite a bit, is I do multiple translations multiple times. Also looking at the Greek, also looking at the Hebrew, because it's just effective to draw some conclusion as to what's being communicated. Here, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. If it was necessary for you to know what those signs were, it would be in the book. People are thinking, well, Jesus could have done this, and Jesus could have done this. Well, that's fantastic. Jesus could have opened up a Pharaoh's and brought you the zoo as an ice cream thing. But that's not in the book, and you're not going to put it in the book because it doesn't belong in the book. Pretty simple. So if it's in the book, there has to be a reason or a purpose to why it's there. And if it's not in the book, there has to be a reason as to why it's not there. Otherwise, you don't really believe God is sovereign. You believe that he exists, but you don't believe he can write a book, let alone have a good promoter. Seriously? Can't have that kind of faith. So this is what John did say. These are written so that you may believe. So let's start with that. What he did record, what is written, what is in the book has a purpose. God's purpose is not to sit there and say that what he's writing is the perfect account of history. Let me explain why before you freak out. Because the Gospels are not historical books before their four encounters of four people who engaged with Jesus Christ. And every time somebody tries to say, well, no, it has to be an exact book, you don't understand God at all if you think that. Because if you go to see Star Wars and I go to see Star Wars, you and I can see the exact same thing and come up with something different. There's nothing bizarre about that. And if you went to an elephant on the left and I went on the right, or you went on the north, I went on the south, somebody went on the east, and somebody went on the west, you'd have different connections to that elephant. It's just a reality. So the Gospels are those encounters with Jesus Christ. And those encounters as they impressed upon the person. So John tells you, hey, what's written here? The reason for this stuff has got this intent, that you would believe. That's why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, because the more you process the word of God in your mind and in your heart, the more you generate the truth, which helps you produce faith. Like, okay. And what he says is this: these are written that you may believe. Believe what? That Jesus is the Christ. Now, let's understand what that means. That doesn't mean Jesus is a Christ. The world offers many messiahs. The world offers many false prophets, many messiahs, many Christs to be the salvation of your soul. Some of it's secular progressive attitudes. Some of it has to do with Mother Earth is your existence. Some of it has to do with everybody should have the same political structure. And don't just say socialism. It's all the isms. It's the theological understanding that God is central. Are you on the left? Are you on the right? Maybe you should be center up or top center where God is, because God is in charge and that's the way to go about it. But here's the message: that you would believe and that I would believe that Jesus is the Christ of God. You know, people come up with salvation messages all the time, but I want the one that comes from God that says, this salvation message is the one that you need to spend eternity with me. I don't want to hear about somebody saying, you're going to be a toaster, and then when you're done, I'm going to unplug you and bury you in the ground. I want somebody that says, we got streets of gold that you can dance on and live forever without weeping, without crying, joy in your heart. Like, yep, I'll take that one. That's the one we want. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. Now watch this. And by believing, you may have life in his name. This is where it gets missed. You don't just believe once that Jesus is the Christ and then go on your way and go to the dock and go fishing. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by continually believing, you find out that in his name you have life. And that you're not dying every moment. You talk to the world, they'll tell you after you're 19, all you do is die. Sure. Or I can believe that Jesus is the Christ and have life continually. I choose that one. And the written word has a life that it connects to us, connects us to the breath of God. You know, you do know all scripture is God-breathed, and you do know when God breathed into Adam, Adam became a living entity, right? Adam was dust or mud, depending on where you're coming from, but then God breathed into Adam, and Adam became alive. You do realize that same breath is the breath that's in the scripture, right? And that by reading that scripture and embracing that, acknowledging that Jesus is the Christ, you let the breath of God breathe on you. And if the breath of God breathing on Adam produced life, what does the breath of God produce in you? That logical thinking. Stop that, Dave. Here is what it is. Things were written in the scriptures that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ and continually have life in his name. That's the purpose of the writing. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
All right, it's David James. My friend, Sue Freeze, the termite lady from Ecola, is here. And Sue, you were just telling me that allergies and termites have something in common?
Dave, if you have a problem with termites in your home, but also suffer from allergies and chemical sensitivity, we offer an array of termite control services that will be able to solve your problem without putting your health at risk. Our Ecola heat process uses extreme heat instead of chemicals to kill and remove termites and any other pests that may be infesting your home.
Yes, and you were telling me about the awesome electro gun treatments. It sends electricity through the wood, and you use it as part of your termite control services?
They're very effective. So if you are concerned with your health and are sensitive to chemicals, know that we have an array of options for termite control.
Don't sacrifice your health or the health of your home. Call Ecola Termite Pest Control Services now. 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS or termitelady.com.
Ecola, powerful termite and pest control.
As gentle as a butterfly.
HelpWantedSanDiego.com salutes the employee of the month, the one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Hey, Dave, you missed yesterday's meeting. You said you'd be there.
True, Mr. Employee of the Month, but yesterday was opposite day, so when I said I was going, I actually meant I wasn't.
Wait, opposite day? So everything you said yesterday had the opposite meaning?
Right.
So, wait, when you told me you didn't have pink eye...
I actually have a raging case of it.
And when you said you finished the Q3 reports...
Haven't even started them.
Oh, well then, that must mean that when you were asking for a raise, you were really asking for a pay cut.
Touché, Mr. Employee of the Month. Touché.
If you don't mind hiring Daves, go to the national job boards. They may be free, but trust us, they'll cost you. But if you want Employees of the Month, go where smart local job seekers find good local jobs. HelpWantedSanDiego.com. Local jobs that work.
We don't discriminate against people named Dave. Dave is a common name, fun to say, and so we're using it as a catch-all for lackluster employees everywhere. Please don't write us to tell us you were insulted by this ad. That would be a real Dave move, Dave.
This is David Davenport of the Hoover Institution for townhall.com. This summer, Commentary Magazine published a forum on the question, is free speech under threat in the United States? Ironically, in a country where the Constitution and the courts carefully protect free speech, many people do not feel free to speak freely. Why? Because of a smothering blanket of political correctness that starts in our colleges and permeates our society. Speakers with points of view that differ from the liberal orthodoxy are not welcome on many campuses, and in some cases, they've been subject to threats and violence. Students are supposed to be protected from so-called trigger words and microaggressions in the classroom. So much for free speech and the open debate of competing ideas. The problem is that the First Amendment protects free speech from limitations by government, but the big challenges to free speech come from our culture and our campuses. It will take a strong fight to protect free speech, which is clearly under threat. I'm David Davenport.
Learn more at townhallreview.com.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
For joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I just want you to make sure that if you're driving, you keep your attention on the road. If you're at home, I don't want you halfway on the bed, halfway off the bed, because the next segment we're going to do could be difficult to endure. We're getting ready to do Meshuggah News.
Meshuggah News.
That's right. You can't get that on every Christian station. In fact, you can't get that on any other Christian station since we wrote it here. Let's understand what this is. This is kind of like this is not a Christian outlook, which has a completely biblical worldview of the different things that are taking place in society. This is me reading some of the hot things off the press and going, because that's what you and I would typically do when you read some of these things. Let's get through it. We got about five of them to cover. Shouldn't be that difficult. But by the way, this Michigan news is called Where No Man Has Gone Until Now. First and foremost, just a couple of days back, it's important to note that if you're not familiar with CNN, that's not that big a deal. But CNN is basically Christians Not Necessary. That's what it stands for. Or something like that. There's a lot of different names. Anyhow, there was an argument between a CNN reporter, I guess Jim Acosta, who is accosting everybody, and White House aide. And then the response at the end of the conversation from the CNN reporter was, the White House is racist. The White House is racist. The only way a secular, progressive person can win an argument is just by calling everybody racist. So can we at least put this on the table just a little bit? Just a little bit. The person that always sees everything that they see in racism as race is the racist. If you, in fact, see everything in the prism of racism, you are the racist. Because that means that the only way you think is in race, which makes you the racist. Now, see, that the logic of that is just, you can't defy it. If everything you see is through a Jiffy Pop popcorn, then you are the popcornist. It doesn't matter what you say. If everything you see is from a biblical point of view, then you're the Bible person. If everything you see is through the prism of racism, you're the racist. It's pretty simple. It's not even that complex. And I will say, and being a person who's born and raised in Detroit and has a much better handle on some of the racial tension than people might think, there are a lot of excellent group saying, hey, some of these things don't seem right, they don't seem fair, and we got to get together and do a better job. I got zero problem with anybody who wants to talk about that. But when you have a movement like Black Lives Matter, and they get so mad every time the word white is used in any capacity, these are the same people that would say that Jesus Christ is racist because he died for white people. I mean, it's absurd. It's like, who believes any of this rubbish? Nobody does. The only reason it gets on the news, if it wasn't on the news, by the way, what would happen? You'd never hear it, right? If it bleeds, it leads. Do you know what's one of the most amazing things about the different spring uprisings when they have all the protests? You know what's one of the amazing things that nobody ever shows you? As soon as the cameras turn off, you know what happens? Everybody goes home. Turn the camera off, protest over. Maybe we're making too much of a connection between publicizing things and giving them life. I don't know. I could be wrong. Also, this is another thing that came up. YouTube temporarily banning a professor who is rejecting politically correct pronouns. He will not use, because it's improper English, pronouns. If he won't let people use these politically correct ones, so YouTube said you can no longer be on YouTube because you're not following the politically correct system. We know that politically correct is PC, which stands for progressively corrupt. And you should know that. We know that. I know that. Christian photographer, by the way, the court did have this happen recently. Christian photographer was not required to work a gay wedding. So now we have another thing that's going to go through the court, and there's some Christians were like going nanny, nanny, boo-boo, so there kind of thing. But here's the bottom line. All that stuff, it's a ruse, all of it. You know the Christian baker and the people that were same-sex marriage people? They targeted them. If you really wanted to get married and you really didn't care, right, you would just go to a baker that you would appreciate to be connected to you. However, it turns out that those people felt a whole lot better about their emotions when they each got $175,000. Isn't it amazing how money makes everybody's emotions better? Have you ever wondered about that? Here, I am emotionally devastated. Here's $200,000. I have recovered. Okay. Come on. Who believes any of this stuff? All right. This is one you've never heard before. And these are the ones I love to do. But this is not the main story yet. Here's the next one. This is classic. Pigeon racing in Indonesia now leads to a high rate of divorce. So there's two major things that come out of this. One, nobody has ever heard that before, ever. Pigeon racing leads to a high rate of divorce. And number two, pigeons are racists. Okay. Just want to make sure I got that out of my system. They must be racist. Here's the one that I did the whole basis on. Ready? Star Trek fans' vanity license plate has been censored by snowflakes. Everybody knows what a snowflake is. You say something that's even a little bit warm, they melt. Here is what happened. A Star Trek fan is losing his license plate because it isn't politically correct. Because this Canadian has a license plate that says ASIMIL8, which is assimilate, which is a reference to the Borg, where the Borg say, resistance is futile. Well, they do it better than I did it. We are the Borg. And so on his license plate, it says, we are the Borg. Resistance is futile on the top and the bottom, and then it says assimilate. But unfortunately for people in Canada, that's too close to trying to tell people they have to assimilate to the Canadian way of being. And this person is being forced to return the license plate from Manitoba because it's too offensive. Because they have the Borg, assimilate, resistance is futile. People see that as politically incorrect. And that is triggering some people to have hurt feelings. When they start outlawing Star Trek slogans, because it's hurting people's feelings, and it's important to protect everybody, I'm curious how, and I got a picture right here, how, if that hurts my feelings that they do that, how are they going to protect me? Because my feelings are hurt that I can't have assimilate. We are the Borg. Resistance is futile. I call shenanigans. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Take a short break, then we'll come back with our next DDD. Don't go anywhere. It truly is
another sky. The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Be an expression of the love of Jesus.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Bill Crowder. Thomas Barnardo entered the London Hospital Medical School in 1865, dreaming of life as a medical missionary in China. Barnardo soon discovered a desperate need in his own front yard, the many homeless children living and dying on the streets of London. Barnardo determined to do something about this horrendous situation. Developing homes for destitute children in London's East End, he rescued some 60,000 boys and girls from poverty and possible early death. Theologian and pastor John Stott said, "Today we might call him the patron saint of street kids." Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." Imagine the surprise the crowds and Jesus' own disciples must have felt at this declaration. In the ancient world, children had little value and were largely relegated to the margins of life. Yet Jesus welcomed, blessed, and valued children. James, a New Testament writer, challenged Christ followers, saying, "Pure and lasting religion in the sight of God our Father means that we must care for orphans in their troubles." Today, like those first century orphans, children of every social strata, ethnicity, and family environment are at risk due to neglect, human trafficking, abuse, drugs, and more. How can we honor the Father who loves us by showing His care for these little ones Jesus welcomes? To get Our Daily Bread in print or ebook, visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Agent Squire is doing a fantastic job at the board. Good job, sir. Appreciate it. So much going on. Oh, by the way, we did find out. So we have Lee Strobel on next week, which is going to be really cool. We got some special guests this week. Better get ready. We have somebody. This is kind of an amazing thing. We got a couple people that got some conferences that are coming and talk to us. Lee Strobel next week. We have Dr. Jeffress the week after. And that same week, we have somebody who is connected to the Holocaust. It's going to be some fascinating material taking place, and we are very excited about it. We hope that the show is as much of a blessing to you as it can be. We never anticipate and do not like, actually, is the nicest way to say it. We don't want this to be your church format unless you're stuck and you're using it and it's just blessing you. That's great, but I'm not a pastor. I'm just here to encourage and lift up and challenge and make observations. They just call me the Jewish commentator in some places, and in other places they say, "Get out." That's what they call me, the get out guy. Get out. If you want to reach the show, David Sweeney at KPRZ.com. Let's get ready to do our next DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. Not going to believe this. This is a rarity. This DDD also from today. Where you getting the fresh stuff. Also from today, this DDD. The title is Believing Equals Seeing Equals Being. Believing equals seeing equals being. John chapter 20. Verses 24 through 29. Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails have been and put my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were once again inside the doors with the doors locked, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas replied, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So there are, as many of you know, some rich traditions regarding Thomas, also called Didymus. And there's a whole section in the Catholic Church that talks about doubting Thomas, although I'm not positive that's that necessitates it's just a Catholic mindset. Thomas was doubting in this situation, but in his doubting process, you know, he was the only one of the 11 remaining disciples, of the entire 11 remaining disciples, to not see Jesus. I've always felt sorry for this guy. Not because he doesn't do a whole bunch in Scripture, but Jesus shows up and he's the only guy not there. I'm thinking, man, I'm kind of glad that wasn't me, right? Now, in reference to the 12, they say, well, there's 12. Judas is gone. Yeah, but they used to call the 12. It's kind of like saying, hey, it's the Lions. Well, Barry Sanders wasn't there. I know, but it's still the Lions, okay? So this is just going to keep it simple. But you got Thomas. He's not there. Now, I've always wondered, where was he? Why was he not there? These are the things that I think about. But here's the most fascinating part. They all get together, and look at the disciples tell him, hey, Thomas, we saw Jesus. Not one, not two, not four, not seven, 10 of them. Thomas, we saw Jesus, for real. And Thomas is like, I didn't see him. I don't believe this. He didn't believe his 10 partners. And he goes, I'm never going to believe this unless I see, unless I touch him. Then I will believe, but not until then. Look at what verse 26 says. 8 days later. Do you have any idea how long 8 days is if you think you're being hunted and you are kind of on the top 10 list of the Pharisees wanting to catch you, and maybe the Romans want to catch you, and the person that you were supporting was crucified, and you're on the wanted list, and they're in there, by the way, with locked doors. How does that feel? What do you do when you lock the door? You're hoping nobody bangs on the door, nobody comes looking for you. 8 days later, then Jesus shows up. I'm thinking if I'm Thomas, I would have said, could have come 7 days ago. I mean, that's kind of like the mindset. It's like a long time. And Jesus shows up, and what's the first thing Jesus says when he shows up again? Peace be with you. This is the second encounter with the disciples and the third time Jesus has said peace. It seems as though we maybe get a little frantic or spastic, or what's another word? Super uncomfortable. And there's the Lord showing up behind the locked doors. And what's the first thing he says? Twice in the last experience, once in this experience. First word out of his mouth. Peace. That's the one message that we seem to fail to retain in regards to the resurrection. The first thing Jesus says is peace. For those that don't know, peace has to do with rest of mind. I was like, peace, peace. And he is, by the way, the Prince of Peace. He holds the authority of peace. And then Jesus turns to Thomas and says, okay, put your finger here and look at my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. And then Jesus says this. Stop. Stop. How would you like it if Jesus said to you, the resurrected Jesus Christ, stop it. Knock it off. That's what he said about the doubting that Thomas was holding. Just stop doubting. Stop doubting and believe. Why? Because doubt cuts out the belief. It's as though they cross each other out to some degree, which apparently is why you only need a mustard seed of faith. If you have 3 ounces of faith and 3 ounces of doubt, you've got nothing. They just canceled each other out. Now, if you had 3 ounces of faith and a mustard seed, and 3 ounces of doubt, you got something. But Jesus says, stop. He doesn't say, well, keep doing it, but build up the faith. He goes, no, stop doubting. Knock it off. And then Thomas gives one of the most undercredited responses, period. My Lord and my God. Remember Jesus, Peter said to Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's like this statement. My Lord and my God. What a fantastic statement of faith. Unfortunately, Thomas is not known for this, which is sad, because this is a better statement than anything else. My Lord and my God, which, by the way, is Thomas acknowledging the deity of Christ. Hello? Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Here's something to catch. Jesus shows himself to people, and they get saved. But Jesus also reaches people simply through the message. And Jesus says, more blessed are those people who can get there by their faith than to have evidence to believe in me. Why? Because when you believe, you see. And when you see, you function in Christianity. And if you need a sign for every time you're going to believe, if you need a witness for every moment you're going to have faith, you're going to have a very choppy walk. Better are people that can believe and walk in that faith and move forward than people that need to have a sign for every single thing they ever do. Sometimes you just got to go in faith. Sometimes you got to step out of the boat onto the water, whether you know what's going to happen or not. Sometimes you just take the leap. If you're a person that needs a sign, it's harder to do it. If you're a person that can believe and walk that belief without seeing, you're even more blessed than Thomas was to see Jesus. Ooh. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break. Come back with our Facebook post. Don't go anywhere.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Have you seen someone who was destined to change the world? Have you looked in the mirror? San Diego Christian College will educate and inspire you through the truth of Scripture and the development of skills that will prepare you to impact the world. It sounds like a life well lived, and it can be your life if you take the right path. San Diego Christian College is here to help you become culturally and globally involved with personalized one-on-one attention in a Christ-centered, affordable, and convenient setting. You've been wanting to do something meaningful with your life. San Diego Christian College will help, from Christian ministry to business to teaching. From a bachelor's degree in business management to a master's of science in business, San Diego Christian College will help you succeed with affordable and convenient classes both on campus and online. Get your degree on your schedule. San Diego Christian College in Santee near the Trolley Center and online at sdcc.edu. Truth, purpose, impact. San Diego Christian College.
What in the world is happening in San Diego? In a fulfillment of prophecy, God is uniting both Christians and Messianic Jews under Messiah Jesus. Rabbi Joel Lieberman is one of the many speakers at this One New Man in Messiah conference.
But now I believe that modern-day Messianic Judaism has been given a mission for accomplishing what cannot and could not be done by coercion. In time, both groups, Jew and Gentile, will appreciate what is available from the other. Then Jew and Gentile truly can be one in the Spirit.
So come and see for yourself what God is doing right here in San Diego and beyond at this Saturday, August 19th, One New Man in Messiah Conference.
When San Diego sees Messianic Jews and Christians united, the enemy is defeated.
OneNewManSD.com. Be part of this unprecedented kingdom phenomenon. OneNewManSD.com.
the godly are as bold as a lion. Really? That's what it says in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs. But if that's true, why don't we take more opportunities to talk to people about Jesus? Here's Will Graham.
Because so many don't believe of angels and works anymore, and so they don't want to share the gospel.
Billy Graham's grandson travels around the world sharing the love of Jesus Christ. And he's learned that people everywhere need to know about that love, need to know that Jesus wants to forgive their sins.
Preach the gospel and people respond. They're hungry. They never heard this before. Even when it's the darkest, a little bit of light shines a long way.
There are people all around you who need the light of Jesus. Will you share it with them?
They do respond. There is a God. There is hope and salvation in the person and the work of Jesus.
We can tell you more at billygrahamradio.org. Click on Grow Your Faith. That's billygrahamradio.org.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Probably a good idea to remind you, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Don't forget about KPRZ, the Facebook page, okay, where we have not just the events that are going on, different things that you can connect to, but there are inspirational there's passages, inspirational sayings, really cool pictures. I mean, it's just kind of like a cool place to go. The thing that bothers me a little bit about Facebook is the things that get tossed around, kind of like on the news. They're super, I mean, the majority of them are super negative. The ones that are funny are rather funny when they're, you know, when they're good and they're funny. I mean, any video of my grandchildren is funny, no matter what anybody says. Or cute. Anyhow, at least at the KPRZ Facebook page, if you go there, you're not going to get depressed. That's good to know for some of us. All right, let's close our show out with the Facebook post. The title of this is When the People of God Are Off. When the People of God Are Off. Comes out of 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10. It says this, he replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are looking for me to take my life. I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are looking for me to take my life. This is Elijah. So he names three things that identify the people of God as being off. And I want to elaborate them just briefly. The Israelites abandoned the covenant. Now, typically, a covenant is understood as an agreement. Some people will use it as a contract. That's a little more legalistic in its terminology for some of us. For other people, they look at it differently. But a covenant is this commitment that is made, an agreement that is made not just in performance, which is what a contract is, but a covenant is also an agreement that is made with all of the person's might, all of the person's power, all of the person's existence, which typically a contract is not. So when it says the Israelites have abandoned the covenant, for you and I, that would be simply this. We have not maintained a constant connection with God through Jesus Christ. That's us abandoning the covenant now. You think, well, no, the Old Testament's the Old Covenant, the New Testament's the New Covenant. Right. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22 teaches us very clearly that through Jesus Christ, we have access to God 24/7, 365. And when we don't access or maintain connection to God, we're breaching the purpose of that covenant, which is fellowship with God. We're breaking it. The next thing that Elijah says is, they have torn down your altars. Now, for me, when I think of altars, I think of prayer. So what I'm getting from this is, you know, we're not staying in this constant connection with Jesus, and we're not using the altars of God by which we bring ourselves and pour ourselves out. The other day I was praying. It was kind of funny because as I'm praying, I'm talking to the Lord. Sometimes it's much more reverent than others. Sometimes it's much more me just kind of outpouring. But that was the key right there, that regardless of the style that I was bringing into prayer, I was unloading or outpouring my heart before God. I thought that's a great definition. While I typically will use the definition talk to God as prayer, because it can be in any of those formats, I think it's really cool to understand that when we're praying, we're not informing God. We're unloading out of ourselves unto God, and he's there to help carry that burden for us. That's a big difference and important for us to understand. So Elijah talks about abandoning the covenant, tearing down the altars, and then he says this. He says, and killed your prophets with the sword. And for us, how do you think, well, how does that connect to you and I? It's ignoring the truths of God, the genuine teachers of God, the things that God has had to say. It's ignoring them. It's giving no credit to the people that speak on God's behalf. Yes, as a person who's been burned in a church, I know not every pastor is the greatest teacher in the world, but not every pastor is bad. And for those that have been hurt, I'm sorry, but that's not an excuse to ignore every teacher that comes from the Lord. And you can't ignore the true and genuine teachers and the great truths of God. You just can't afford it, because you will get slaughtered spiritually because of it. So we need to have this constant contact with God through Jesus Christ, make sure that the altars are accurately being used, and make sure that we're not ignoring the great truths of God and the people that communicate those truths, and be connected with God. When we're off, we're breached in one, two, or three of those areas. If you're not in prayer, there's a problem. If you're not connected to the truths of God and the proclamation of God, there's a problem. If you're not connecting through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, there's a problem. And we need to be aware that sometimes we're off. You ever wake up on a Monday and think, boy, I can't wait till this day's over, because then it'll be like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, which is anything's better than a Monday. That's because a lot of people feel off on Monday. Guess what? We can't be off with God. Or we're just going to be in that same bluesy mode that we put ourselves into when we have a bad Monday. Hey, 24/7 you can access. It's not that you have to do it 24/7. It's that you can. And we should access often. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we're going to come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
And now, today's Pathway Minute with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
It's true, we're responsible for the thoughts we cultivate in our minds, thoughts that lead to choices, choices that shape our life and our eternity. But it's also true that there's another force at work. Satan tries to slither into our minds and plant wrong thoughts that lead us away from the God we love. And every wrong thought that Satan tries to place in your mind is built upon a lie.